The other thing that we had was this 2511 language, and we have some people working on it and sharing it back and forth, but we don't have
a response
yet.
Okay. We have a few things to go through kind of quickly, if that's
good.
Okay. One of them, this is quite interesting. This was the DeSantis statement that came out in the news, the university free expression statement. Right, Mike, you guys are familiar with this?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. So first of all, we're 100% supportive of this statement. We think it's great, and the reason we're bringing it into bargaining is that we think it falls under terms and conditions of employment, specifically around academic freedom, mandatory subjects of bargaining, and we think it would be beneficial to incorporate some of this stuff directly into the academic freedom article.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of language in it that's kind of aspirational language, but the going through it, the two lines that struck me as like the central argument of it is in the second paragraph. Then I think these are the sort of things we could put directly into the academic freedom language. Individuals are free to express any ideas and opinions they wish, even if others may disagree with them or find those ideas and opinions to be offensive or otherwise antithetical to their own worldview. Right? Like that seems to be like this central, potentially contractual statement about academic freedom. And then the corollary to that is at the bottom of the page, which says, institutions may restrict expression that is unlawful, such as true threats or defamation. Like that seems to be like the only limiting principle that they're introducing here is what's, you know, defamation, true threats and defamation. So essentially something that captures that as a statement of free expression.
All right, we'll certainly take this into consideration.
Tom, did you have anything to add on?
No, I think you stated it well.
So an academic freedom is not open right now, right?
No, it's not. Okay. But if it's...
But it's certainly going forward.
Agree to, and it will be open going forward. If it's something that's a mandatory subject to bargaining, I mean, I think this is more, actually, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. Like, is this intended from DeSantis as like an aspirational statement? Is it considered contractual? I know that they ask university presidents to like sign actual statements, right? And I think we're working on maybe some policies that relate to it. Kim, you might know this.
Yeah, I think that was just the first step, the having the president sign, but it has come up in cabinet, so there has been some discussion.
Well, and there's nothing in the statement that it conflicts with the contract, so
yeah.
There's nothing to bargain from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does say seek our campus community's commitment, so I think it's they anticipate a response.
Okay.
At a local level.
Mm-hmm. It was like a contractual response?
It could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly it's certainly, we certainly could and should look at our academic freedom language in light of this. Mm-hmm. And if it can be improved as a result of the sentiments in this statement, good.
Great. Yeah, we're 100% supportive of it.
Good.
Any questions?
No, any questions?
The last year when we were looking at salaries, you all asked for a salary article early because of some budgetary timeline and things like that. We weren't sure if that was still the case for this year. We have a salary article that we can give you that kind of outlines everything if you would prefer that now for budgetary reasons, or we can hold off, whatever you prefer.
Well, certainly all of us in a delicate time frame, because we are unaware of how funding will shake out. But I think the sooner that we have some guidance on what it is that you would like to see happen, the better for everybody involved.
Okay.
So we'd like to have it.
Sure. There's quite a few elements in here. In aggregate, we certainly believe that they're affordable. None are It's in line with a lot of what we've discussed previously, have been building and working toward. The, do you want me to just walk through the elements?
Sure.
Okay. So the first one is this is the also Mike Matamore trademarked one-time non-recurring, right?
Isn't yes, it? Yes, yes. Yeah, I have that copy written.
Yeah, was it a royalty?
That was right after birthday. I went right to the.
Oh man, they steal your ideas.
Non-recurring wage.
Yes, one-time non-recurring. This is exactly the same as this last year, just updated for the current year. Now, last year, this is what I was referring to. Last year, you said this had to be done by June 1st of 2018 because you said there were some encumbered funds or unencumbered
yeah.
something. So that's why we wanted to bring this in today. If that's not currently the case, it's perfectly fine for us to change this.
Okay. I don't know if it's the case or not this year. So
okay. The in 25.3, this was already agreed to, right? There's nothing new in this scenario. In 25.4, this would be just extending the same cost of living increase structure into 2021. It's been immensely helpful to have that 1 year ahead, both I would imagine for university planning, but also for faculty.
Okay.
And in the same structure, and it's gone very smoothly the last couple of years without a hitch. We have added in 25.5 an additional that 1% to the associate or full professors who receive that associate professor increase at 9% or less. Several years ago, we increased the associate professor increase from 9% to 13%. And so the university has been generous in allowing or in providing some retrenchment for those people who had less than that 13%. So we've captured 3% of the 4%. This would be just the final 4% to make those faculty whole. 25.6, here's where it gets a little bit interesting. Now, previously we've discussed where my understanding of where the teams are on the promotions for instructor for all non-tenure track faculty, with faculty who currently are receiving the multi-year contract structure. The position of the teams, as I understand it previously, has been that the university said they're unwilling to provide promotion structures as long as that multi-year contract structure is in place, right? So what we've provided here is not re-engaging that discussion, right? Like that's right now, that's something that we can look at more fully, perhaps in full book or elsewhere. What we've proposed, though, is there's a class of faculty that have been introduced in the last 3 years, and these are our assistant clinical professors, right? The assistant clinical professors, and Mike, you might not remember, a couple of years ago, we went through the process of getting specific position codes for them because they were initially hired as in
1991,
and then we got them set in their mm-hmm. own position codes. The assistant clinical professors don't have access to either the multi-year contract structure or promotions, right? They currently have neither, right? So we believe that we could introduce the promotions for the clinical professors and I should say too, the only position code that we have right now is just the assistant clinical professor. Mike, your position previously was that the university can implement new, work towards new position codes. It doesn't have to go through bargaining.
Is there an associate and assistant clinical professor?
Yes, yeah, it would be the ranks, right? So what we're proposing is introducing promotion ranks for associate clinical professor, adding them to the associate, and then just clinical professor. This would mirror assistant professor, associate professor, and then professor, right? With those same percentage increases. Because they don't have access to the multi-year contracts structure, right, that has been the inhibiting component, I think, for some of our other faculty, we think that they could be introduced into this structure without having to re-engage that specific debate.
Okay, I get it. So as opposed to instructors, lecturers who have the multi-year contract,
and
research associates, and the ranked faculty who have
Yeah,
promotional opportunities, the assistant clinical professors out there.
Yeah, they're on their own. They're on their own. Yeah, they're caught in between.
What is it?
It's everybody always asks. Associate and those are actual titles, right? They're strange. You look at what in the world is, everybody says in what, but it's the actual titles is associate in.
And you truncated something, somebody.
Yeah, I thought it was instructor. Yeah.
Yeah. So the way that the promotion language works, we think that just by adding in, establishing the position codes, adding in the classes here to these increases, the promotion article already, it essentially includes a waiver to outline, the university creates those promotion guidelines. That's the same way that we, create our tenure and promotion guidelines.
Got it.
Right. So we think we can just simply add those classes in here, and then the university can proceed just as we normally do with our criteria for promotion.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. And then the... the other things that we've added in, this 2511 language, that's the language that we previously proposed. That's the payment for assigned duties out of salary and or E&G, right? So that's what you all already have. Now, 25.12, this is new language, something that I don't think other universities are doing this. We currently have, one of the things we hear frequently from faculty is that they would like more merit award opportunities that would relate to base salary. Our university currently provides, through academic affairs, awards at the end of the year these are university-wide competitive awards, for like the Faculty Teaching Award, Distinguished Service Award, and then the Student Government Association Award is also given it's awarded by the Student Government Association, it's presented at Academic Affairs. So this is what we're proposing, is that if a faculty member receives, over the course of their career, a combination of three of these annual end-of-the-year awards, they would be inducted into what's like the Hall of Fame of awards. The Student Government Association, this is modeled on what they do. If someone wins that SGA award three times, they're like in the Hall of Fame, right? So this would designate, if a faculty member wins three of those awards over the course of their career, they would receive a one-time $3,000 increase to base salary. And it would be any combination of those.
And the three awards are... Or were those just examples?
Those are just examples.
I got it, okay.
Those are the primary ones. It's changed a little bit over the years. We used to award a Distinguished Research Awards through Academic Affairs. That has changed, I think, to maybe the University Research.
Research and Sponsor
Programs. Yeah, Research Sponsor Programs.
I'm on the University Research Council, and when we came up on honor this year, this award was going to our group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the first year, there was no money with them. Okay, all the person got was a plaque for the previous year winners and actually got money. Mm-hmm. That budget was resolved, and so they got nothing. Mm-hmm. So the previous year, you got an award, you got the money, but this year, you got an award, you got
Yeah.
Right.
Money.
I'd rather the plaque than the money.
Nothing like recognition.
Yeah, that's right.
So Mike, we didn't define the specific awards. We described what they would be. Academic affairs, et cetera.
Okay.
And specifically also, there's a component too that if a faculty member has received three of these in the past, right, they would be retroactively inducted into that and receive that $3,000 increase. The financial encumbrance of that, from my understanding, is very small. I think I count maybe five people who would be affected by that retroactively. And then lastly, one of the things we mentioned early on is we already have that departmental merit language in the contract, right, about how to distribute departmental merit. This is where it's a percentage of overall salaries that go to the department, which the department then defines And Mike, of course, you're very familiar with this from other universities, right? So we're proposing a 0.5% for departmental merit. This would not be distributed, this would be effective the first pay period of not until March 1st, 2020, to give departments time to go into their bylaws and to and clarify, as per the contract, what the merit criteria is. Just practically, most departments don't have that in their bylaws now. I think they're unaware of the departmental merit.
It used to be many, many years ago. Sometimes half of your salary is merit based. Then somehow it vanished over the years.
Where this 0.5% comes from, our cost of living increases the last couple of years have been based on the consumer price index, right? And they've been capped at 2%. With those last 2 years, I think the consumer price index has been like 2.1 and 2.4, so it's a 0.5% down, right? And so that's where we got that 0.5% from, related to that 2% cap. We're a little bit below this consumer price index.
Okay.
So lots of elements we feel like in aggregate that they're in line with what we talked about before.
Okay. Anybody have any questions about that? All right. Anything else?
Yeah, the only other item we had, this is all of our items for the reopener. This is just our stamp. We've seen this before. This is just the Article 3 UFF. Which is one. There's two there. Wow. Previously, we had discussed this. Just striking the either or rather than both. This is one that, previously, the university had expressed a willingness to address or to accept it in this form. As you know, if you remember, Mike, we've run out of runway. We're working on a MOU for release time, like right now.
Okay.
And we're moving into full book and these sort of things. And so, simply striking that the either or statement would make everything into compliance. We wouldn't have to rely on that MOU.
Okay, good. I understand it. Does anybody have any questions about that? All right. Well, I think we'll take all this back and get back to you as soon as we possibly can. Is there anything else we need to do? Do we have another date set?
No, no date set. We're welcome to kind of accelerate the timeline too a little bit.
Yeah, okay, good. We'd like to kind of bring it in for a landing as quickly as possible. People have other things to do in the summer.
I'm out of town the week in May of the 12th through the 17th, but any other time is fine by me.
Okay, I'm sorry. The 12th or the 17th is out.
Okay.
Right, that's what I understand.
Yeah, so the 21st.
Unfortunately, I bargained at UCF on the 21st. That's already booked. How about, are we looking at a particular day of the week?
We're basically going to school.
I have Monday the 20th. That's okay.
I could do Monday. We have cabinet in the morning, but other than that, I'm
good. How long will you be tied up?
That's from 10 to noon on Monday.
Bargain in the afternoon.
Can you do it in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it in the afternoon, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. What time would you say?
Anytime afternoon.
Do you have a preference?
1 o'clock.
What time?
1.
Okay, good.
Lunch.
I get it. The other day, I said, I was driving to Atlanta. I said to my wife, I need to eat because when I get to Atlanta and I see these people, I don't want to be hangry. And she said, that's a great word. Where did you just make that up? I said, no, I didn't just make that up. It's a word. I think it's on an ad.
Yeah.
My wife one time used
it. Don't copyright it.
I thought that was poor English, and then he said, no, I saw it on TV or something.
Yeah, yeah. So see, I freely admit that
that's what Snickers bar. Snickers bar. Snickers bar.
I did not invent hangry.
No.
I fessed up to that.
But that is not evidence. Yeah. That is not evidence.
The Earth Day just went up.
Yeah.
Earth Day. You lost it on that one. I'm sorry, Mike. That was hard.
Okay, so real quick, do we want to get a second date on the books? The reason I ask is because we can do a pretty quick turnaround. Because you guys, I imagine, will be bringing most of the materials.
Yes.
In it. We can give you a quick turnaround in just a few days, right? Okay. I know that's sometimes harder for you guys.
Well, okay, if we do the 20th.
Monday was a Monday, right? Yeah.
I'm booked the next week. I could do June 4th.
What about, could you do like an overnight on the 20th? I mean, we could have stuff for you the next day.
Well, I have that UCF bargaining on the 21st.
Oh.
I have depositions on the 22nd that I probably could pass off to somebody else if the 22nd is okay. Jeff is
smiling.
You're watching this go down.
Yeah. Sorry.
This is how it happens, and I get accused later.
Yeah. Jeff, do you need a caucus?
No. It's not like I have any pull.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yes.
22nd.
Okay.
Can you do that?
We can do that.
22nd.
Yeah.
What time?
That
day in the morning works better for me. I don't know if it works for anybody else.
I do have a meeting with the president at 3.
How about 9 o'clock?
I can do 9. Yeah. I don't know. Does that work 10. For everybody?
Does
that 10, work for 10. You guys?
What are
you
talking
about? Give you guys 10. Time 10. To get here.
10.
10.
It's just Orlando.
10 is good. I got 10. Okay.
It will officially be 10, not 10:30.
We can have breakfast then, coffee, whatever.
Yeah. Good.
Is it 10:30?
Let's say 10:30.
10:30.
Okay.
10:30, the 20th.
Let's have a relaxed
midway between breakfast and lunch.
Ah,
10:30. You will not be hangry.
Yeah.
Let's check.
That is the 22nd, right?
Yes. Wednesday.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You need it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, Kim, is that a...